You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with your guy, Bully Rye.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this week's football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, on a special Wednesday edition. And listen, I'm going to be completely transparent with you all. I have recorded this show already, but the audio was not saved. So all the excitement I had, and it was a great show. One take, everything was perfect. And I have to re-record the whole thing because for whatever reason, the audio did not get recorded. So your guy is a little frustrated, but I'm going to power through it. Hopefully you enjoyed yesterday's Crown Jewel review that PJ Steven and I did. I'm going to have a special edition Thanksgiving Day episode where we are going to talk all things Survivor Series in anticipation for this Saturday's Survivor Series pay-per-view, Survivor Series War Games on Peacock. But as of today's football show, let's get into the pregame warm-up here. We're going to talk Bully's best games from the weekend. And boy, howdy, was it a great weekend, especially in college football. Upset special and a couple of teams that avoided near upsets. Three of the top five were almost turned on their head. Let's get into it. TCU, to start with, number four team in the country. At the end of this game, they trailed by two. They run a play on first down, spike it on second, run a play on third down, and with a running clock, run the field goal unit on the field on fourth down, kick a field goal to win the game and remain unbeaten as they knock off Baylor 29-28. A really unique sequence in this game, but TCU survives and stays alive in the college football playoff hunt. You want to talk about another team that survived ahead of their big showdown this weekend in Ohio State? Michigan survives Illinois, another game-winning field goal, 19-17. Michigan gets the win. Both of those teams avoided upsets. The next few did not. North Carolina, a one-loss ACC team headed towards the ACC championship game, an outside chance of maybe winning the ACC and having a chance to get into the college football playoff, will not get there. They get knocked off by Georgia Tech 21-17. Oklahoma State, just a few weeks ago, was a top 10 team looking towards maybe a shot at the Big 12 championship game. They continue their slide as they get upended and upset by Oklahoma 28-13. This game was not close. I believe at one point this game was 28-0 Oklahoma. Oklahoma scores a few times to make this game look closer than it was. Oklahoma State gets knocked off. Another team that gets knocked off, a team that just a few weeks ago was looking at a potential SEC championship game, a potential college football playoff berth. Ole Miss, absolutely destroyed by Arkansas. Top 15 Ole Miss team, unranked Arkansas team. 42-27, the final in this one. Arkansas led, I believe, from start to finish. There was no Ole Miss LSU game where Ole Miss led big. LSU came storming back and just absolutely dominated. Arkansas led this game from start to finish. Going to the Pac-12, probably the best game on paper of the weekend. Two ranked Pac-12 teams, Southern Cal, UCLA. Southern Cal trailed by 10 at one a few points in this game. Then they would take 10-point leads a few times in this game. This game turned into a shootout. Southern Cal continues their drive towards a college football playoff berth as they knock off UCLA 48-45. Now, I saved this for last because, as you know, if I am nothing, I am a homer. And quite possibly the biggest upset in college football this season took place Saturday night. The University of Tennessee, sitting at number five in the country, looking for someone to make a mistake in the top five so they could backdoor their way into the college football playoff. They are already not going to win the SEC East. Georgia wins the East, taking on an unranked South Carolina in Columbia. South Carolina absolutely dominates Tennessee 63-38, just demolishing the Tennessee Volunteers. Listen, 63 points, the most points scored by an unranked team against an AP top five team, I believe, in the AP poll era. They scored at one point 35 points in a half, a single half. That's the most points South Carolina has scored in an SEC game since, I believe, 1995. And just this game looked closer than it was. They scored a touchdown. They being Tennessee scored a touchdown at halftime, in which Sherrod Green, I believe is his name, a linebacker for South Carolina, had his hands on an interception that would get tipped into the hands of a Tennessee receiver that would allow Tennessee to score right before the half. Tennessee would score one more time, I believe their second possession of the second half, to make the game 35-31. And South Carolina would not look back. Just putting up point after point after point. Spencer Rattler looked comfortable. That showed what this offense can do. Tennessee would score another garbage time touchdown. Unfortunately, they lost Hendon Hooker to an ACL and a non-contact injury in the fourth quarter of this game. So prayers out to him. Hopefully a speedy recovery, because more than likely that cost him his Heisman Trophy winner. It probably cost him some money regarding his high draft status that probably would have been without this injury. But the backup comes in, throws a bomb late in the fourth quarter that would lead to a Tennessee touchdown. South Carolina would run the clock. At one point, I think South Carolina had three drives that did not end in touchdowns in this game. One was a three and out to start the second half as far as their possession. And the other two were the end of halves. They scored on every other possession. Listen, as a Gamecock fan, this was one of my most favorite games I've ever watched. It did not feel real. It felt as real as the Alabama game did in 2010. If that Alabama game back in 2010, when they were the number one team in the country, Steven Garcia had a game of his life. If that is the biggest upset in Gamecock history, this Tennessee game is number two. Considering I call this game the biggest upset in college football, not just because it was a top team going down to an unranked team, but in the manner at which it took place. The fans stormed the field after the game. Just what a night for Gamecock Nation. Just really fun time as the Gamecocks get a big win. I'm going to repeat the score again, 63-38 over the Volunteers. Let's go into the NFL. Of course, I'm going to end college football with a homer pick. I'm going to start the NFL with a homer pick. The Lions have now won three straight games. They knocked out the Giants 31-18. Next up, we'll stay in the NFC North. Unfortunate news here. The Falcons beat the Bears 27-24. Justin Fields dislocates his non-throwing shoulder in this game. To add insult to injury, if you will, they cannot finish the game and lose to the Falcons. Probably the most boring game of the weekend. The New England Patriots taking on the Jets. It was 3-3 with under a minute to play. The Jets were punting, essentially waiting for overtime. The Patriots said, and get the punt return for the touchdown, win the game 10-3 in regulation. The Raiders, who had not won in some time, finally get a win that they needed very desperately. Knock off the Broncos 22-16 in overtime. Devontae Adams, I believe, got wide open to catch that overtime touchdown to beat the Broncos. The Cowboys, a week removed from getting beaten by a really bad Packers team, gets a dominating victory over the NFC North leading Minnesota Vikings 40-3. You've got that game was so bad that the people who had that game in their markets, maybe not in the Texas area, the game was so bad that they switched it to the next game, the Bengals and Steelers. In a wild game, the Bengals would pull that off 37-30. And then Monday Night Football, the second straight game missed by Kyler Murray due to a hamstring injury. And the Cardinals are dominated by the San Francisco 49ers, 38-10. Jimmy Garoppolo throws four touchdowns in this game. Just an absolutely dominating performance. Might be panic time in Arizona. Doesn't look like they're getting any better. Cliff Kingsbury's seat may be getting warmer as we speak. Really bad night for the Cardinals here. That's all we've got for the best games from the weekend. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into the first half of the show with Bullies, Buys, and Sells. I went 5-3 last week. Find out how we got to that point, and let's see if we can make it better coming up next right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating, or on Facebook, or by searching One Stop Repairs. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs. Call today for a quote at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, everybody, welcome to the first half of the show. Bullies, buys, and sells right here on Tap House of Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye. Like I said at the end of last segment, I went 5-3 last week. I very easily could have gone 6-2. DeAndre Swift last week was projected 11.8 points, fell into the end zone to give him 12.2, a pretty bad beat that would have given me a 6-2 record last week, but I digress. 5-3 on the week. We're going to try to get better for you this coming week. And then next week, I'm going to give you an update on my overall season standings. But it seems like I've been going 4-4, 5-3 every week. So let's see if we can get you any better this coming week. I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. A lot of big names in the buys this week that more than likely you are starting in advance, but hopefully giving you a little more confidence. There's some big names on the sales list that you're not going to want to miss. So let's get right into it, shall we? Let's start off with Bully's buys and start off at the quarterback position. Justin Herbert gets the buy this week, projected 21 points. Once again, already starting him if you've got him. But he's playing a Cardinals team, allowing the sixth most points to quarterbacks this season. And as I mentioned, they just gave up 4 touchdowns to Jimmy Garoppolo last week. The Cardinals are just falling apart. Now, having said that, the Chargers offense has sort of been falling apart. They bring back Mike Williams last week, re-injures his ankle, but doesn't seem to be too serious. But nevertheless, if Jimmy Garoppolo, now granted, we should make it clear that without guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen on the field, this offense isn't the most talented in the world. But they're still talented enough to win this game, and thus I am taking Justin Herbert, not just to win this game, but to put up some fantasy points here, which is why I'm buying in on Justin Herbert. At running back, let's go into Bully's buys, and we're going to, again, this is sort of a risky pick because there's a lot of talk about his backup sort of maybe usurping him or taking a lot of his work. We're going to go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette with a current projection of 12.2 points. Now, he's coming off a bye week, but the week prior, I believe he injured his hip. But the Bucs do draw a Cleveland defense, allowing the second most points to running backs. Listen, I think he's going to be good to go. I think he's due for a monster week. I think the might be a little premature to say that the backup here in Tampa Bay is going to take away some of the work from Leonard Fournette. Now, if his hip is not healed, then this pick goes out the window. But nevertheless, I'm still buying in on Leonard Fournette this week. A wide receiver you're probably already starting, and you should be if you're not. And let's go to New Orleans and go to wide receiver Chris Olave. This week he's projected 12.6 points. Listen, he's the clear-cut number one wide receiver option in New Orleans. In my opinion, he sort of usurped Alvin Kamara as the number one overall option in this offense. He's got no less than 5 targets per game since week 2, and he's also had 3 games with double-digit targets. That's 10 or more targets in a game. Now they're getting the 49ers, who just destroyed Arizona on Monday Night Football, but they're still allowing the 13th most points to wide receivers this season. It's been clear that Jameis Winston isn't upset that he lost his job, but Andy Dalton is doing enough to hold on to that starting position, and it's in part due to the fact that guys like Chris Olave are stepping up. I love Chris Olave this week. Buy in on Chris Olave. Next up at tight end, I sort of mentioned in the Chargers offense, you've got a Keenan Allen who's been dealing with a hamstring. You've got Mike Williams who's been dealing with an ankle. Justin Herbert needs targets to throw to. And my buy for this week is none other than a target for Justin Herbert. It's the tight end target. Gerald Everett projected 9 points. I think if you start Herbert, you're starting Everett. Arizona not only giving up the 6th most points to quarterbacks this season, but they're also giving up the most points to tight ends this season. And again, with the health of Allen and Williams still up for debate, still in the air, they've got to have targets to go somewhere. And I love Everett this week as a result of that. So let's start off and recap. Let's recap Bully's buys before we move into Bully sells in the second quarter here. From quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, Justin Herbert, Leonard Fournette, Chris Olave, and Gerald Everett. All right, let's get into Bully sells here in the second quarter. And again, a lot of big names with the exception of maybe the tight end. But let's start off here at quarterback. Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields currently projected 22.4 points. Now, I mentioned in the pregame warm-up, Justin Fields injured his non-throwing shoulder. He dislocated his non-throwing shoulder last week. It's not a given that he even plays this week. Now, granted, it's not his throwing shoulder. If it was his throwing shoulder, I'd be willing to bet that he's not going to play. It becomes a pain tolerance. It becomes, does he further injure that non-throwing shoulder? Is he going to be able to tolerate the pain? Because a lot of his offense comes to do with his legs. And if he's getting hit, will he be able to handle that pain in that shoulder? The Jets currently rank 8th against quarterbacks in fantasy. Did not allow an offensive touchdown in that game against the Patriots last week. Listen, he's been on fire. Him being Justin Fields has been on fire here for the past month and a half. I just don't like him this week. You're probably going to start him because of the potential. 22.4 is a pretty high number considering he's dealing with an injury, which is why I'm selling Justin Fields this week. At running back, another guy that I'm not sure will play this week. Let's go to Cincinnati and running back Joe Mixon with a current 17.5 point projection. He suffered a concussion last week. With the scrutiny that the NFL has been put under with guys rushing back from concussion, I'm looking at Tua Tagovailoa. I'm looking at Matt Stafford being rushed from a concussion. He was deemed in a concussion protocol, then returned from concussion protocol, and then in the middle of that game last week, returned to concussion protocol. I don't know if Cincinnati one risk is risk. I don't know if Cincinnati risks the health of Joe Mixon, and I don't know if they risk the scrutiny by rushing him back. I don't think he plays this week, if I'm going to be honest. If he does, they're going against the Tennessee Titans team, allowing the 6th fewest points to running backs. So even if he does, I would temper expectations for Joe Mixon. 17.5 is a lot going up a number 6 running back defense regarding fantasy points. I really don't like Joe Mixon this week. You're probably starting him if he plays, but I'm selling on Joe Mixon this week. Another big name wide receiver is sort of contingent on whether or not his quarterback plays. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver winds up on the sells this week. DeAndre Hopkins projected 16 points. Listen, if Kyler Murray doesn't play again this week, I feel much more comfortable about this pick. The Chargers are allowing the 11th fewest points to wide receivers to boot. But I really, if you give Colt McCoy the reins again this week, I do not like this projection for DeAndre Hopkins. Not getting my hopes up. And listen, if you have a wide receiver on your bench that is comparable to DeAndre Hopkins, somebody that you had to start every week because DeAndre Hopkins missed the first few weeks of the season due to his suspension, it wouldn't hurt you to start that guy this week. Because listen, if Colt McCoy starts, Hopkins is not going to have a monster week. That's why I'm selling on him this week at wide receiver. Next up, probably my riskiest pick of the week because he's got a really low projection. Let's go to Buffalo and tight end Dawson Knox, currently projected 9.6 points. He's got a low projection, and he's going up against the Lions, giving up the 4th most points to opposing tight ends. I don't think that matters this week because I don't think Dawson Knox seems to be in the mix of this offense anymore. You've got Stephon Diggs. You've got Gabe Davis. I think you've got Devin Singletary. You just picked up Nyheim Hines to back him up to get some passing game work. I just don't think that whatever Buffalo is doing right now, it involves Dawson Knox being involved in the pass game. Having said that, that's why I don't like Dawson Knox this week. He's got a good matchup. He's got a low projection, but I just don't see him breaking that double-digit fantasy point this week based on his current usage. So let's break down. Let's go through one more time before we go to halftime here and go through Bully Sells as a recap. Quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, Justin Fields, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Hopkins, and Dawson Knox. We're going to take our halftime break. When we come back with the second half of the show, we're going to go in Frick's Picks Games of the Week recap, how I did against the spread last week, go over our podcast pick'em standings on ESPN.com, and then we're going to pick, it's rivalry week in college football, Thanksgiving week in the NFL. So we're gonna play these out and see where we wind up finishing going forward this season. Stay tuned to see how we fared out last week and see how I can help you win some bets this week. So stay tuned. We'll come right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second half of the show. You know, it's weird. I have three segments of my football shows, and I have the third segment being the second half. So listen, you've got a better idea on how I can format my shows, how I can title my shows. Let me know. Let me hear it. Social media, tapoutsandtouchdowns@gmail.com is the email to the show. Go to facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns or on Twitter at tapoutsandtds. But let's go forward here with the second half. And Frick picks the games of the upcoming week. Sort of had a weird week. The first time I've had two pushes in a single weekend. I went 2-1-1 in college, 1-2-1 in the NFL to finish 3-3-2 on the week. Gives me a recap of 41-42-5 on the season. Now, I'm not going to remind you where to go and make your picks against the spread. College football is coming to a close. And the NFL, you know, if you're not picking against them so far, I don't expect you to go to now. But let's go through the standings. Not a lot of shakeup here in the podcast pick'em standings for college football. Tied at first place still, Volley Polly and Jason Buck. I might start just calling him J-Buck here. 70-48 is where they stand. Your guy, Bully Rye, moved up in a tie for third place with Buck. 66-52 is where we both stand. And rounding out the top five is Potsy, who has not made picks in a few weeks, 43-33. Let's move over to the NFL and podcast pick-up standings. No movement here in the leaderboard. Let's start from five here, rounding out the top five. Sam at number five, 83-64. Buck at number four, 85-74. Volley Polly of podcast pick-ems, 90-73. Greek sitting at number two, 96-67. And your guy, Bully Rye, still sitting atop the leaderboard of the NFL pick'em standings, 98-60. So, with that being said, it is rivalry week in college football. And boy, howdy, I know I started off the show with boy, howdy, but rivalry weekend is always one of the best weekends in college football. And there are so many rivalry games that it was hard just to pick four. I mean, you've got Auburn, Alabama, you've got Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Not really a rivalry game, but a big game in the AAC. Tulane taking on Cincinnati, North Carolina, NC State. Not quite the rivalry that USC-UCLA is. UCLA, Cal. You get Florida, Florida State. Georgia, Georgia Tech. Kentucky, Louisville. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's just so many to choose from. Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Kansas, Kansas State. Unfortunately, Virginia Tech was canceled. This is a second straight canceled game from Virginia due to the death of three of the players on that football team. A senseless murder by a former player, and understandably so, Virginia has canceled that game with Virginia Tech. Honestly, the game really had no bearings on anything in the postseason to begin with, so continued prayers go out to the University of Virginia fan base, alumni base. I've got a friend in Virginia who, when she heard about that shooting, was forced to check on some of her former students who were going to Virginia at the time. So really sad news coming out of there. They showed their memorial on the ACC network last weekend. So continued prayers go out to the families of those involved and affected by that senseless shooting. Listen, we're going to get into happier thoughts now, and we're going to talk some Frick's Picks for rivalry weekend here in college football, essentially week 13, the last weekend before the championship games. And let's start off in Florida. Florida at number 16, Florida State. Florida State, a 9.5 point favorite. Friday kickoff, Black Friday kickoff, 7:30. Listen, Florida's coming off a wild 2 weeks, a dominating win, did not give an offensive touchdown up against South Carolina, but they followed it up with a loss on the road to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, who had not won an SEC game in 26 attempts, beats Kentucky and then wins again, has a now a two-game winning streak in the league as they knock off Florida. Meanwhile, Florida State sits at 8-3 on the outside looking in the ACC championship game. A tough loss to Clemson. I believe that was only a 6th or 7th point loss. They beat Florida State earlier in the season. They are Florida State. Beat LSU earlier in the season, as I'm trying to look up their schedule now to come up with the other losses. But nevertheless, outside looking in, the ACC championship game, unfortunate for them. But over the last 3 weeks, they've given up only a combined 23 points. And almost a 10-point spread is a lot for any rivalry game, which is why I'm liking Florida to cover here. Their loss to Vanderbilt wasn't by a bunch of points, but I digress. Again, it's not very often that they tend to get dominated by Florida State in this game, at least not in recent years. To recap, Florida State's losses were to a Wake Forest team that was on fire, an NC State team that was on fire by two, and then that 6-7 point win or 7-point loss against Clemson, which is why they sit on the outside looking at the ACC championship game. I think they win this game, but I'm thinking somewhere between 3 and 7 points is what they win by. Give me Florida with the points because I think they cover here. For the Saturday rivalry games, we're going to go backwards in time. We're going to start off with a 7:30 kickoff game. Number 15, Notre Dame at number 6, Southern Cal. Southern Cal, a 5-point favorite in this game. Listen, Notre Dame looked awful to start the season. They did look competitive, if I'm not mistaken, against Ohio State, but then dropped to Marshall. They lose a few games here, but they seem to turn around their season with that beatdown of Clemson in South Bend, whereas Southern Cal coming off a big emotional win in a shootout against UCLA last week. I like Southern Cal this week. I think they remind us of who Notre Dame really is. I don't think Notre Dame is all that good to be a top 15 team. Yes, they have a win against Clemson. Yes, they had a win against Syracuse the week prior. But listen, I don't think you're all that great. I also think Southern Cal continues to make their case as to why they belong in the college football playoff leading into the Pac-12 championship game. I'm taking Southern Cal to cover that 5 points in this game. Now, I'm not closing off the college football Fricks Picks with this game, but this is your game of the week in college football this weekend. Number 3, Michigan at number 2, Ohio State, a noon kickoff in the Big Ten. Ohio State, a 7.5-point favorite. Once again, the game of the weekend in college football. You get Michigan's rushing attack against Heisman hopeful C.J. Stroud and a high-powered Ohio State offense. Michigan finally got their elusive win over Ohio State last season for the first time. Make it to the college football playoff and get dominated and dismantled by Georgia in the playoff. Listen, they're going to make it 2 in a row. I don't care that they're playing Ohio State. They're going to control the game with the running attack. They're going to get the win outright. 7.5 points doesn't matter. Taking Michigan with the points, they're going to win 2 straight against Ohio State this year. And in my opinion, send Ohio State packing out of the college football playoff. Give me Michigan and go blue here in this game. Finally, you knew I was going to do it. I'm going to close out with a homer pick in the college football's Fricks Picks this week. South Carolina at number 8, Clemson. A noon kickoff in Clemson. Clemson, a 15-point favorite. But listen, we mentioned it, and I went into a little more detail than I normally do in the recap here in the pregame warm-up. South Carolina showed just what they could be capable of on offense in their dismantling beatdown of Tennessee last week. And Clemson has been anything but consistent on offense. DJ Uiagalelei sort of leads the pack here with that inconsistent offense. They were forced to bring in Cade Klubnik in their win against Syracuse to bring the comeback Now, they did just get a big beatdown of Miami last weekend, did Clemson. And in years past, 15 points is quite enough for Clemson to be favored by, because South Carolina's never really stood a chance in the over the last 10 years. South Carolina's last win in this series came in 2013. Once again, South Carolina, speaking of 15 points, South Carolina's already covered two spreads this season in which they were multi-score dogs this season, including the 21-point underdog that they were to Tennessee last weekend. If Clemson that played against Notre Dame shows up, and the South Carolina that shows up against Tennessee shows up, South Carolina runs away with this game. I don't know what team's going to show up, but I will tell you that I don't care if I get this loss. South Carolina, my Gamecocks, will cover this 15 points. They will win outright. For the first time since 2013, the Gamecocks have not had much of a chance to win this game over the last decade. You've got Clemson, a couple of national championships in this span, a couple of decent games where Carolina, if they had had a defense, would have stood a chance to beat Clemson. If they would have had an offense, they would have had a chance to beat Clemson. Last year, they gave up 31 points but didn't score a single point. There was one year when I believe Jake Bentley was a starting quarterback that he put up over 500 yards of offense, but the defense wouldn't have been able to stop a high school team that night. So not a lot of chances for South Carolina to win. I think they've got the talent. I think they've got the defense. The concern for me here for South Carolina is their offensive line. They've been very porous throughout the season. Now, last week against a strong Tennessee front four, only gave up, I believe, two or three sacks. Rattler is radiating confidence right now. The Rattler we saw against Tennessee was the Rattler we expected to see going into his transfer from Oklahoma into South Carolina. If he plays like he did against Tennessee last week, South Carolina's got a shot to win, and I think they do. They also get their top two running backs, more than likely back, Marshawn Lloyd, Christian Beal-Smith. They're going to have a shot, and like I said, I don't care if I lose this pick. Give me the Gamecocks to win for the first time in almost a decade against the Tigers this weekend. Let's move forward here to the NFL, and I will get you on your way to your Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to pick all Thanksgiving Day games. Let's start off at the 12:30 kickoff here. Buffalo Bills at Detroit Lions, where the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. Listen, the Bills have given up a lot of points the last 2 weeks, and if you can believe it, have lost two of their last three games, one to the New York Jets, who was only able to put up 3 points against the Patriots. Meanwhile, Detroit has won three straight, scored 31 points in each of their last two games. Listen, it's also to be said, the Bills' second straight game in Detroit at Ford Field. If you remember last week, there was a blizzard that hit New York. They were forced to move that Buffalo-Cleveland game to Ford Field. So the Bills should feel right at home here in Detroit. I really think Detroit started to figure it out now. But they won't beat the Bills this week. For whatever reason, the Bills, I can't explain it. Early in the season, I said the Bills are going to beat everybody by three scores until they show me otherwise. Now they've lost two of three. They'll win this game, but I'm thinking that like a 4 to a 7-point win for the Bills. I don't think the Lions are going to get dominated this game. They're going to look a lot better than people think. Give me the Lions to cover, but the Bills will still win this game. Next up, the 4:30 Thanksgiving Day kickoff. Another team that we're always used to seeing on Thanksgiving, the Dallas Cowboys hosting division rival New York Giants. The Cowboys, an 8.5-point favorite at home. The Giants are getting banged up while the Dallas continues to get healthier. There's another receiver that went down for New York last week. You've got the Giants coming off a loss to the Lions and the Cowboys coming off a demolishing of the Minnesota Vikings last week. But these games tend to be really close, regardless of where they are, regardless of who's playing. These games always tend to be close. The Cowboys win, but I like the Giants to cover here. 8.5 is quite of a big spread. Give me the Giants to cover here on Thanksgiving. Last up on Thanksgiving night, an 8:20 kickoff. The Vikings, the aforementioned Vikings, taking on the New England Patriots at Minnesota. Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite. again, the Patriots, I wouldn't call it a fluke win, but a miraculous punt return for a touchdown to win in regulation against the Jets last week. The Vikings could not put an offensive touchdown the first game, I think, in over 40 games that Kirk Cousins was not able to throw for a touchdown pass. Got embarrassed by Dallas. Listen, I think Minnesota's better than they showed against Dallas. When you get in momentum and you don't really relinquish it, stuff, blowouts and things like that happen. I don't think the Patriots have anything on offense worth writing home about. Give me the Vikings to win. I mean, a field goal win gives me the win here. I'm taking Minnesota to cover this 2.5-point spread. Give me the Vikings all day, all night maybe, on Thanksgiving. Last but not least, we're only going to go one game on Sunday, a 1 o'clock kickoff, probably to me the best game on paper of the weekend. The Bengals at the Titans. The Bengals, a road 2-point favorite. Listen, I think this is just another game where Tennessee inexplicably gets the win. I mentioned it in the Bully Sells. Joe Mixon suffered a concussion last week, may not play. Jamar Chase is not going to play in this game. You've got Tennessee, who just got Ryan Tannehill back in that offense. And Derrick Henry is just so dominant and so just I don't know another word to use other than just dominant. He can take over a game. Give me the Titans here, not just to cover but to win outright. Being at home, I don't think Cincinnati's played all that well on the road this year. And like I said, Tennessee has in the past been notorious for losing games they should win, winning games they should lose. And on paper, I think this is a game they should lose, which means they'll win this weekend. Folks, that's our show. Once again, second time recording this show. Hopefully you enjoyed the football talk. Hopefully my fantasy football advice will lead you to wins, and Frick's Picks will hopefully win you some money. Once again, we are at Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Take this time to remind yourself what you can be thankful for. I know there's a lot of negativity in this world, a lot of negativity going around, just, you know, bad things happening everywhere. You know, you got to find things and remember, remind yourself what you have to be thankful for. I've been told that I talk too much. This podcast gives me an outlet to get some of my talking out so that I'm not talking someone else's ears off outside of the people who choose to listen to me. So I'm thankful for this outlet. I'm thankful for the few of you who do listen to the show on a weekly basis. And there's many other things to be thankful for. Roof over my head, food on my table, friends in my corner, family that cares and cares about and loves me for me unconditionally. So you've got to find the things in life that you can be truly thankful for. And this is a week, if nothing else, than to be able to find those things and continue to be thankful for them. Like I said, we got a special Thanksgiving episode rolling out tomorrow. On Thanksgiving Day, PJ, Steve, and I will be discussing all things Survivor Series, greatest moments, greatest memories, and previewing this weekend's Survivor Series premium live event. And so, yeah, take some time. You can listen to the show on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You can listen to it on Thanksgiving on your way to see your families. Or you can watch it a day late, and you'll miss all the picks from Thanksgiving Day. And so you can immediately call me out where I was right and wrong in my picks for the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. I appreciate you listening to the show this week, today, whenever it is that you're listening to the show. Hopefully, you will be listening to the Survivor Series preview and review come tomorrow. But once again, enjoy the time that you get to spend on this holiday with your family and friends. For Tap House and Touchdowns, it's your guy, Bully Rye. Thanks for listening, and I'll be around.